If you're a child of God, say amen.
Amen.
You know, I don't know how it can get much better than what we just listened to, but I'm looking forward to finding out. Amen.
Amen.
And today we begin a brand new series. As a matter of fact, I hesitate to say brand new series. We're beginning the first series that I'm going to do as a pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church. And I am so excited and so honored to be here today. So I say, first of all, grace and mercy from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have God's Word all over the sanctuary in printed or digital format, would you hold your Bibles up in the air above your head? Amen. Love that. Please turn in the Word of God to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, we will be in verses 1 through 8 today. You should have in your bulletin a way to follow along and take a few notes. And, as we begin this series, above all, it is such a blessing to come here and to have been able to sing that song, above all. Amen. That Christ is above all things. He's above the entire creation. And we're going to learn about that today. We're going to learn about that through this wonderful series. It's going to be a journey through the book of Hebrews. And I've been here now. This is my third Sunday. We're starting to settle in. And Miss Audrey, our church secretary, is starting to get used to me. I'm not sure she quite believes it, but she is starting to get used to me. And so a reading from the Word of God this morning, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels. And He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did He ever say, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to me a Son." But when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all the angels of God worship Him." And of the angels, He says, "Who makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire?" But to the Son, He says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom." May the Lord add His blessings upon His word. Heavenly Father, we ask today that as we spend these next few moments in your word, that the teacher would speak your words and your truths only. Father, forgive him his sins, for they are many. And let us hear the soft sound of the sandaled feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe today that as I bring to you this message, it's one of the most important messages that I have ever given. As we come here together, learning week by week above Jesus, sometimes things can get into a routine. Amen? We can start thinking, oh, it's just time for church. And as we get caught up in the busyness of church and doing things in church, we need to remind ourselves it is not time for church. It's time for Jesus.
Amen.
You know, we read the book, the God's Word, and we realize, as Dr. Adrian Rogers said, the great prince of preachers, the golden throat of preaching, that this is a hymn book. It is all about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. From the first verse in the book of Genesis to the last verse in the book of Revelation. If you read your Bible and you don't see Jesus standing there somewhere in the shadows, you are not reading your scripture properly. Because it is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here today, or you're watching on the internet, or listening to a CD, or somebody may have given you, and you don't know Jesus Christ, we want to assure you of one thing, that we are not here to trick you by twisted words or sly techniques. We're not here to do any such thing. We have one goal today, and that is that you would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord. It is the prayer of every Christian in this house that when we get to heaven, that we have you with us. Amen? So as we continue now in this message, today we're going to be answering this question, who is Jesus Christ and what is His due? What is due to the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, this question, if you answer it right, everything else will be right. If you answer that question wrong, and everything else about what you believe will be wrong. And so let me begin by saying that there is none other like the Lord Jesus Christ. There is none other. He cannot be compared to anyone else because He is absolutely incomparable. H.G. Wells made a list of the 10 greatest men of history, and first on his list was Jesus. But Jesus does not belong on any greatest list because He is not Jesus the Great. You can talk about Peter the Great, you can talk about Alexander the Great, but you cannot talk about Jesus the Great because He is Jesus the one and only. Amen. He is on a list that is set apart. There is none other that is to be compared with Him. You know, Napoleon Bonaparte in the early 19th century lived a wicked, greedy, ambitious life. And when he had been defeated, he was once and for all exiled to St. Helena. And on that island, the only thing they gave him was a Bible to read. And he began to read that Bible. And he read it over and over and over. And he studied the Scriptures diligently. And when he had read and read and read, he wrote these words, finally, "I know men. I know the hearts of men. And I can tell you that Jesus Christ is not a man. He is not a man like any man that has ever lived. Emmanuel Church, there is no resemblance between Jesus Christ and any man that has ever lived. Did He come in human form? Yes, He absolutely did. Did Jesus need a shower once in a while? We hate to think that, but yes, He did. He was walking around in the desert, amen? Did Jesus need to brush His teeth once in a while? Yes, He did. He was fully God and He was fully man. There is no part of Jesus that was not man. There was no part of Jesus that is not God. But He is set apart from every other man that has ever lived. He is the God-man. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can't get excited about that, then I'm just going to start testifying myself up here. Amen. You see, He is the Lord Jesus. There is none like Him. There is no resemblance between Him and any other man. There is between Christianity and every other religion the distance of infinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are infinite in their nature. If you get nothing else about God, if you've never thought about God, if you've never wondered about God ever, but you've once in a while somebody mentions that name and you think, well, what is the intrinsic thing about God is that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are infinite. They are the infinitude of their nature is what brings to being. You see, God is holy. And in His holiness, He is infinitely holy. In fact, the Bible, when it speaks, the Bible doesn't have punctuation. And so when it tries to make an emphasis on something, it does it with repetition. And the only place where it talks about the Lord and His holiness, where it's three times repeated, is in the book of Isaiah, where it says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Our God is not just holy in His infinite nature. He is not just holy, holy. He is holy, holy, holy. God loves you. And let me tell you something, that His love for you is infinite. And my salvation is not bound by my love. My salvation is bound by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He came from heaven to earth to die for me. You can say to every other religion that you have neither gods, nor do you have agents of the deity. You are but missionaries of falsehood molded into the same clay with the rest of us mortals. You see, in the uniqueness of Jesus Christ, it is His uniqueness that makes Christianity different. It is simply different from all of the other religions of the world. You can take Buddha out of Buddhism and still have Buddhism. You can take Confucius out of Confucianism and still have Confucianism. You can take Muhammad out of Islam and still have Islam. But my dear friends, you cannot take Jesus Christ out of Christianity. He is the Lord Jesus Christ and there is none like Him. The leaders of all of these other religions are dead and gone. But our Savior, they tried to kill Him. They tried to put Him in a grave. But on the third day, what? He rose again to the glory of God the Father. And all other religions have kept the idea, and they try to live by the teachings of their leaders that have died and gone on. But see, Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a code. Christianity is not a cause. Christianity is not church. Christianity is Christ. Amen. And it's found in Christ alone. You cannot take Jesus Christ out of Christianity and still have Christianity. It'd be like trying to take the notes out of the music. It'd be like trying to take numbers out of mathematics. Although sometimes today when you look at the mathematics, you wonder if the numbers have just gone somewhere else. You see, friends, Christianity is empty without Jesus Christ. Think about this for just a moment. Others say, well, here's a sign to the way to go. Or philosophy points to the truth. But Jesus says, I am the way. Jesus says, I am the truth. Still others say, here's the way to find life. But Jesus says, I am the life. In fact, you find all three of those things in one great passage that I quote every single way. People wonder, why do I need to receive Jesus Christ to go to heaven? And we find that answer in John 14:6 in the words of Christ Himself. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. You cannot find your way to heaven in any other way than through Jesus Christ. And I need for each and every person to leave here today, or each person watching on the internet, I need for you to understand at the end of this message that there has never been another like the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know the exact date of His birth, but we know that His birth was so important that it divided history in two, into B.C. and A.D. So far as we know, He never wrote an earthly book. And yet more books have been written about Him than any other person that has ever lived. He never painted a picture or composed any poetry or music that we know of. But He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the inspiration of the greatest music, the greatest art, and the greatest poetry that the world has ever known. He never raised an army, and yet the soldiers of Christ march forward this today into the Sudan, into China, into Korea, into places all over the world where they gladly forfeit their lives for the cause of Christ. Jesus never spoke more than to a few thousand at a time, and yet today more than 1.5 billion people celebrate Him as the Lord of their life. Amen. You know, I said something last week that may have shocked a few people. There's going to be Methodists in heaven. There's going to be Presbyterians in heaven. There's going to be some Catholics in heaven. There's going to be Baptists in heaven. But guess what? We'll work it all out, all the theology when we get there. Amen? The soul defining thing that gets you into heaven is you must receive Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus, believe it or not, never had any formal education here on earth. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that if Mary and Jesus sat outside at night and counted the stars and actually got the number? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about Mary sitting in the house, looking over the table and saying, that's God eating the soup that I made? Have you thought about that? You see, He is a personal God. He's a God that comes to live in our hearts. He's a God that comes to give us joy. He never had any formal earthly education, yet more schools, colleges, universities, and seminaries have been founded in His name than any other person that has ever lived. He never owned any property to speak of. He was buried in a borrowed grave. But today the encyclopedia gives 30,000 words to this one life. This one life, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You guys are probably wondering, when was this pastor going to get to these points we're supposed to write down? We're there. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We're going to move quickly now. So this is all about the incomparable Christ. First in our passage today, the first thing we're going to look at is that Jesus declares the Word of God. Jesus declares the Word of God. You see, look at verse 1 and 2 again in the book of Hebrews. God at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Has in these last days spoken to us by what? His Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. The book of Hebrews does not begin with an argument. It begins with an announcement. Isn't it wonderful how people want to argue about God? You know, I've said before that there's so many books and words have been written about the creation of the universe. Amen? But what did God do? God handled it in one sentence, 10 short words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. He doesn't explain himself. He doesn't want to argue. He simply makes a statement. And Jesus Christ is God's last word to humanity. You see, until this time, God spoke to us gradually. Up before Jesus. God had spoken to us through nature. Have you ever sat outside and wondered at the raw power of a thunderstorm? Well, the writer of How Great Thou Art did that very thing. He was sitting and watching a thunderstorm and was simply amazed at the power of God's nature. God has spoken to us through conscience. Well, Pastor Larry, what do you mean through conscience? Well, that's, you know, when you have that little sweet voice, you're thinking about doing something incorrect, and you have that little sweet voice whispering in your ear, don't do that. And you have the other voice saying, it's okay, just this once, go ahead. What I want you to do is the voice telling you it's okay, go ahead, that's you. And the voice saying don't do that is the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's spoken to us through conscience. God has spoken to us through His history. You read the historical books. God has spoken to us through His law. Thou shalt not. You know, Jesus was asked one time, what is the greatest commandment? How did Jesus answer that question? You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, your heart, your soul, and your power. And the second is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so people say, well, did Jesus do away with the Ten Commandments? No, 1,000 times no. Because let me ask you this. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and power, is it possible to take the Lord's name in vain? Is it possible to not keep the Sabbath? Is it possible to have a graven image or idols? Of course not. Let me ask you this. If you love your neighbor as yourself, can you lie to them? Can you steal from them? Can you covet what they have? Can you commit murder? Of course not. You know, people think that Christ did away with the law. But what did he say? I come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. God has spoken to us through the prophets. You know, those are the days that I miss. You know, the one qualifier for a prophet was that he had to be 100% right. And if he missed anything, he would be taken out and killed. I believe that would cut down on the amount of TV evangelism we see nowadays. Amen? That would absolutely cut down on some of that nonsense. But now all of the previous voices throughout all of history and all the ways that God has revealed to us and spoken to us now say, glory be unto the Son of God. Glory be to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, God's final word is Jesus Christ. When you said Jesus, you said it all. And nothing else is needed. Now, if you're starting to get the idea that maybe Pastor Larry is a bit of a fanatic about the Lord Jesus Christ, guilty as charged. Amen. Guilty as charged. One more time. Guilty as charged. I am so excited about what the Lord has done. Do you not realize what God has done for us? That God came down from heaven to die for our sins. You know, we see God at work in our lives all the time. And I feel so strongly, when I met with the steering team of Emmanuel and we were starting to discuss this merger, that God was in this. God was in this. You know, see, Emmanuel was going through a difficult time and looking for what God was going to do. Lord, is it possible that we could have been here all of these years and that this would end? Lord, we're being faithful. Lord, what can be done here? Living Hope Baptist Church. We were saying, Lord, we'd just like a nice small place that we could have 7 days a week if we need it, and the rent is low. Look what God has done. Amen. Look what God has done. He has brought together two great groups of God's people who stayed faithful over the years. Emmanuel has stayed faithful here and stayed faithful in this place, honoring God all these years. Living Hope Church, we were kind of the church on wheels. We moved 9 times in 14 years. 9 times. And the group that you see right now that came into here from Living Hope Baptist Church, you couldn't ruffle these people's feathers with a baseball bat. They've seen it all and they stayed faithful to God. I'm so grateful for what God is doing at Emmanuel Baptist Church now. And so God's final word is Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, when you said Jesus, you said it all. And verse 3 says He is the brightness of God's glory. Amen. He is the express image of God's person. When we look at Jesus, we see that He is God's Word in fullness. We see that He is God's Word in focus. We see that He is God's Word in finality. If you want to know God, you must know Jesus. When we read that Jesus is the express image of God, it means in the very same mold. Now I look around this sanctuary and I see some folks here that when you see them and their children, you go, that's made in the same mold. But what I want you to do nowadays is God also made us independent. Amen? He made us in His image, but He made us look different because He likes variety. Amen? Amen. If you don't think God doesn't like variety, go walk to the mall sometimes and watch the passersby. So what I want you to do is look at the person sitting next to you and say, God broke the mold with you. Okay, I didn't mean to do any pointing. You didn't need to point all the way across back there, guys. All right. So listen, guys. John 14:9 reads that Jesus saying, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." In John 1:1, talking about Jesus being the Word of God. What does it say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And hallelujah to the Lamb of God. What is Webster's definition of word? It is the expression of an idea. And Jesus is an expression of the idea of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. When you hear Jesus, you hear God. In Revelation 1:8, Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." Now, the New Testament was written in Greek, but you need to understand that in all likelihood, Christ speaking would be speaking in His native language, which means He would be using the Hebrew. And He would have been saying, "I am the Aleph and the Tav. I am the Aleph and the Tav." And I'm going to talk to you guys about that some other time, about what that all means. All right? He is the beginning, in other words. In other words, Jesus says, "I am God's Word in fullness. I am God's Word in focus. I am God's Word in finality." And friends, God in these last days has spoken to us by His Son. Jesus declares the Word of God. Our second point today. Jesus demonstrates the works of God. Jesus demonstrates the works of God. Look, if you would, please, at verse 2 again. "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high." Everything that God does, Jesus does. The baby Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. Pay close attention here, church. The baby Jesus in Matthew chapter 1 is also the great God of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Really, preacher? Where do you get that? I'm so glad you asked. If you would, please, we have a couple of passages on the screen. First one is John 1:3. And it says, "All things were made through Him." Now, I studied my Greek diligently, friends. And when I look at that, I looked up that word for all in the Greek. And here's what I found that it meant. All. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. What does that mean? Miss Janet, Miss Ruth Ann, Brother Russell, all things that were made by Him. You are the work of the hands of your God. Amen. You are made in His express image. Amen. The only thing in all of creation made in the image of God. Can't say that about the angels. Can't say that about anything else at all. But you can say that about man. So John 1:3, all things were made through Him. What else? What other verse do we have? Well, we have Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. My life is not my own. I was created for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the reason for creation. Psalm 24 verse 1, write this in your margin. Psalm 24 verse 1 says that the earth is the Lord's in all of its fullness. All of its fullness. Jesus is the reason for creation, but he's also the ruler of the creation. Look, if you will, as we continue to read in the book of Hebrews, verse 3. Upholding all things by his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Upholding means to carry a load. Carry a load. All things with the word of his power. God said, let there be. And it was so. And so the question is, who is it that keeps this universe running perfectly? Who is it that regulates the sun, the moon, and the stars? Who is it that keeps the cosmos from becoming chaos? It is none other than he, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, upholding all things by the word of his power. Colossians 1 says, by him all things consist, meaning that they are held together. Everything is held together by the Lord Jesus Christ. Which makes me nervous sometimes when you really think about that. It means that you are held together by the Lord Jesus Christ. All Jesus would have to do is just simply relax that for a moment, and we would all fly apart. Aren't I an encouragement? Is that not amazing? You say, Pastor Larry, when you get up in the morning, do you say, thank you, Lord Jesus? Absolutely. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I can see. Thank you, Lord Jesus, even for these pains I have. And by this way, this morning, what was that pain? I've never had that one before. I don't even know what that part is named, but it hurt. Amen? And so listen, guys. He is the reason for creation. He's the regulator of the creation. He's the ruler and regent of the creation. But he's also the redeemer of all creation. In verse 3, it says, when he had by himself purged our sins. That verse is important. Look at it again, please. When he had by himself purged our sins. Have you watched any news lately? Local news, national news. Is it just me or is it getting nuts out there? Crazy. Absolutely crazy. You humanity of all things. I mean, all you hear about is war and hate and rape and murder and pillage and greed. Humanity living in disagreement. Humanity living in filth and slime. What is wrong with this world? You know, you ask all of the experts, what is wrong with this world? The sociologists will say, well, it's a cultural issue. It's a cultural issue. Psychologists will say, well, it's an emotional issue. The philosopher will say, well, it's irrational thinking. The humanist, the secular humanist, will say, well, it's human weakness that causes these problems. The Marxist, the socialist or communist will say, it's a class structure. The criminologist says it's antisocial behavior. But the Bible gives the simple truth. It is sin. Amen. It is sin. And we all have it. And the only answer for it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 3 says that Christ purged our sins, and he did it by ourselves. He is, to put it in a phrase, our singular Savior. If you need to be saved, you need to look at no further than at the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Nobody helped him do it, and no one else could have done it anyway, because you guys remember John 14:6. I know you do. I'm going to say it again. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What else do we see? Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says what? It's an amazing passage. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, but by the name of Jesus. And in spite of all the world's teaching, the truth is that we will be saved by Jesus, or we will not be saved at all.
Amen.
You ever find those folks that are dyed-in-the-wool Baptists? I've run into them. Don't get me wrong. Being a Baptist is a great thing. But the dyed in the wool Baptists. I'm going to share a story about my brother-in-law's church here with you for just a moment. Let me tell you what a dyed in the wool Baptist is. They were going through difficulties in their churches back in Louisiana, and they were looking at doing a merger. And when they came together, everything was finalized. The church merger was going to take place. It was going to happen. But they couldn't agree on the name. How silly. And they put out all of these names. This name, that name, the other name. And finally, somebody said, well, why don't we just call it the Christian Church? And one of the deacons from my brother-in-law's church said, I've been a Baptist all my life, and I'm not about to attend a Christian church now. Can you imagine such a thing? That's a true story, guys. You know, listen, guys, people that call themselves dyed-in-the-wool Christians are missing the point. What we should be is washed-in-the-blood Christians. Amen. Washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says what? That He has purged our sins. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And then it says He sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Look up here for a moment. If you can think of some of the first stories you did. What were the first words ever recorded by Jesus Himself in Scripture? Do you remember? John chapter 9 verse 4. Christ was found. He had wandered away from His parents, went back into Jerusalem. They found Him. And He said, I must be about My Father's work. What were the last recorded words of Christ on earth? It is written. Pardon me, it is finished. I'm sorry. He came to do the Father's work, providing us a way to heaven if we receive Christ. And let me just clear up what I just said a second. The last recorded words before His resurrection is what I meant to say. It is finished. Listen, friends. The finished work of my salvation, the finished work of your salvation, took place on the cross of Calvary when Christ called out to the Father, it is finished. As I said last week, He said, into your hands I commend My spirit. Amen? So not only does Jesus declare the Word of God, not only does Jesus demonstrate the work of God, but Jesus, our third point today, deserves to be worshipped as God. He deserves our worship. So the question is, why should we worship Jesus Christ? I'll give you three quick points and then we're finished. First of all, because of His superior name. You can write this in a sub-point if you like. Look at verse 4 if you would. Having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. You see, that word better, a better name, that word better is used 13 times in the book of Hebrews. It's actually the key to understanding the book of Hebrews. The writer is saying, of regardless what the discussion is about, Jesus is better. Regardless of what you're looking at, there is something better in Jesus Christ. Now, we all know that the angels have names, amen? Angels have names. The archangel Michael is an angel with a name that means, who is like the Lord? So let me ask you, Emmanuel Baptist Church, who is like the Lord? Nobody. None. Nine. Nish. I could go on in other languages. I won't. The angel Gabriel, his name means man of God. Now Michael was a mighty, glorious angel who leads and led the armies of Almighty God. Gabriel was glorious in his ministry because he's the one who brings God's message to the earth. But the writer of Hebrews is saying that Jesus is not like mighty angel. He's not mighty like Michael. He's almighty. Yes. Hallelujah. He's not a messenger like Gabriel carrying God's words, because Jesus Christ is Himself God's Word. Amen. And folks, I'm here to tell you today that there is no other name like the name of Jesus. And as a soldier of the cross, as a proud preacher, in follower of Christ, as a follower of the Lamb of God, I am glad to live what Philippians chapter 2 verse 11 says, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. People miss that. At the judgment, those that march into hell will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Satan, who has caused all the trouble, will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. We will shout it from the tops of our hearts. And I hope that you're living it from the top of your heart as you go through this world of trouble. Because if you have Christ in your heart, I'm not saying that troubles will go away. I'm not saying that things will be easy. But I am saying this, you do have a hope for the future.
Amen.
So why worship Him? Number one, because of His superior name. Second, because of His sacred nature. Look at verses 5 through 7. For to which of the angels did He ever say, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to me a Son." But when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all the angels of God worship Him." And the angels, and of the angels He says, "Who makes His angel spirits and His ministers a flame of fire?" I'll preach a little more deeply on that in a separate message. But listen to me, friends. God made the angels, but He begot His Son. Meaning that the physical birth of Jesus Christ and His conception in the womb of Mary, He was begotten of God. Do you ever think about the angels? The angels were there. The angels were there to minister to the Lord, the baby Jesus, at His birth, to declare the good news. They were there at coming and announcing of His birth and His incarnation. The angels ministered to Jesus at His death, amen? Being at the tomb there with Him. And the angels ministered to the Lord Jesus at His resurrection. They were there at His ascension as well. And when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords returns again, He will come with His angels and all the armies of heaven. And when He comes with the armies of heaven, those that have gone before us, that are this very moment in heaven, they will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that people have asked me all the time, "Well, Pastor Larry, when is Jesus coming?" Well, He could do it this very second. If not this very second, surely in 5 minutes. If not in 5 minutes, maybe on the ride on the way home. What will happen to my car? Who cares? I just pray that when He comes, I'm wondering how many airline pilots are Christians. The world will know that Jesus Christ has come. But here's what we do know. He's coming again.
Amen.
He is coming again. And He's coming with His angels. By the way, He comes with His angels arrayed for battle. And He comes with the children of God arrayed for battle. But what are the children of God arrayed in? What are they wearing when they come? White. Dressed in white. Really, Pastor Larry, dressed in white for a battle? Yes, for a battle. You know why? Because the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I preached my way right off my notes there. I got all excited. I'm sorry, guys. But listen, the angels are the servants that minister to the Lord. Look, one final verse. Verse 8. But to the Son He says, "Your throne, O God." God the Father, speaking to the Son, says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Your kingdom." You know, we call His name Emmanuel. I love that our church is called Emmanuel, God with us. I love that. You know, John chapter 1 verse 3 says that the Word was made flesh to dwell among us. If you are a Christian today, you are indwelt by the Lord Jesus Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And you are heaven bound, friend. In spite of whatever you're going through today, whatever difficulties you may be living through, you are heaven bound. Pastor Devine is not here with us this morning. And Pastor Devine is at the hospital this morning with Miss Sunita. And she's going right now through a very strict regimen of cancer treatments. And he's there with her today. I want you to keep her in prayer. That just came to my heart. Okay, he 7 straight days of chemotherapy. I don't know about you, but that's got to be a burden. Amen. All right, so let's get back in here and get this wrapped up. The angels worship Him, and we are to worship Him as God the Father is worshiped. He has a superior name, and He has a sacred nature. Amen? He is the Lord God Jesus. Church, Jesus is the Rock of Ages. He was born as King Jesus. And we have no say in that. We didn't vote Him in. We can't vote Him out. You know, every once in a while I misspeak during the invitation and say, "Why don't you make Jesus Christ Lord?" That's just a mess up. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
The correct way to say that is make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. The real point is, what will you do about His Lordship? Will you crown Him Lord of your life? Verse 8 says that Christ's kingdom is forever and ever and ever. Meaning that in a billion, billion, billion years from now, King Jesus will reign on in heaven, deathless, ageless, and changeless. And if you're a child of God, you'll be there with Him. Can you imagine? Deathless, ageless. I can't wait for this to be worked on. Changeless. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen. Hallelujah, what a Savior. That's why I worship Him. Because my Lord has no equal. No rival. And today He wants to lay claim to your life. You know, friends, when Adam and Eve sinned, death entered the world. And the Scripture is very clear. There's no doubt that they trusted God's plan. That remission was made for their sin and the skin of the animal that was placed upon them. That they trusted that God would save, God's trusted plan would come through their lineage, that salvation would be returned to the world. But let me tell you something exciting. We have gained more in Jesus than we ever lost in Adam and Eve. I'm going to say that one more time. I thought you'd be more excited about that. We have gained more in Jesus Christ than we ever lost in Adam. Adam and Eve were only made innocent. But you and I, when we receive Jesus Christ, we are made absolutely righteous in the eyes of Almighty God. Adam could lose his relationship with God, but we can never lose our relationship with Him. Never. You know, friends, angels have never known the joy that my salvation brings. Angels can't be saved. Have you been saved? Have you been saved and washed in the blood? You know, I'd rather be a saved sinner than an innocent angel any day of the week. And the best is yet to come. Because my Lord has no rival, no equal. And today He wants to lay claim to your life. So don't just nod your head to Jesus. Don't just pay Him a little attention. Open your heart and on bended knees, say, King Jesus, today I receive You as Lord. Friends, the best is yet to come. And we're going to talk about that next week. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as our praise team comes, I want to thank you so much. You've been so patient.